Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sand towel, are they soft?
No, they're better. They're a little bit more firmer texture of meat than the sand trout, and you can actually freeze them, and they're good. I mean, you can freeze sand trout, but they're just mushy when you thaw them out. They fall apart when you're trying to cut them up and get them ready for frying and everything. It's better to cook those fresh.
Yeah, well, but, I agree.
But the guff trout itself's got a lot firmer texture, you know, kind of like a speck.
Yeah, we're just waiting for those birds to start working. We're getting a little bit of bird action, a little bit of shrimp movement, but it's just right around the corner, Mickey. And a lot of our problem is this high water, you know, and that's with the flounder. I guarantee these flounder are in the back of those sloughs.
Yeah, they're up where you can't get to them. Yeah.
Yeah. The only way you're going to get them is get up there and wade with them and work the bottom slow. But if we have a little bit of a drop in the water, they'll be at the mouth of the drains. But what I'm waiting for is that water temperature to make a drastic drop and everything get on the channel walls. When they start getting on those channel walls and I can use the trolling motor to keep the boat deep, and, man, that's when it's a lot of fun. A guy called me, listened to the radio, I guess it was yesterday, and he's wanting a time where there's lots of action, lots of meat. And I said, well, between – probably November 15th and December 15th, we got lots of fish, you know, lots of numbers of fish. Then the big fish start coming probably late December, January, and February for us.
Yeah, you can get that variety pack.
Variety pack, yeah.
That's it, man. A multi-species trip. Hey, we'll even throw some lizards in there for you, bud.
We'll throw some lizards in there for you, man.
Hey, hold on. Let me do a quick commercial break. Buddy. I'll come right back at you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5:37 here in the Bayou City on a beautiful Saturday morning. A lot going on. A lot of lines being wetted down this morning. Hope there's a lot of fish caught on them. We'll see. All right, let's go back to Corpus. Let's talk to our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb. All right, Cliff, we are back.
All right, Mickey. Well, all of our dove has finally left. I went bird hunting yesterday afternoon, and I tell you what, it was pretty slack.
A little dismal, huh?
Yeah, they kind of they do that here in South Texas. You have these big waves of them, and they'll move south. They're probably down in McAllen right now. But then we get a big push of a front, and we get a big push of those northern birds come in. So that's kind of what I'm waiting on now. But in the meantime, I went into the camp and got into my camp trailer. My trailer I stay in during the hunting season. Let me tell you what. Those mice had a pachanga in that thing, buddy.
Lord.
And I spent 4 hours in that thing taking everything out, and I've never seen that. I mean, there'll spend 1,000 mice in there having a party. But they ate everything they could eat.
So, yeah, hope it isn't you spending the night in there.
Oh, God. And they do that every year. You just got to get them out and, you know. And all my buddies say, well, you put these bars of Irish soap in there, they'll stay away. They ain't ever bar of Irish soap I put in there, man. It was just
yeah. They claim that Irish Spring's supposed to deter them. I think they like it. They eat it.
No, they're liking it. They're having a party with it. But anyway, I spent about 3 or 4 hours in that trailer trying to get that stuff out of there. And my buddy gave me this new mouse trap. I don't know if you've seen it. It sits on a 5-gallon bucket. It's got a little plank, and you put
I've
the peanut
seen
butter
that.
On it.
That yeah. is so cool. You'll have a bucket full of mice in that thing when it's over with. They just keep walking off in there.
Yeah. So I put one in the trailer, and we'll see. It'll probably be one big mouse. No. Anyway, we're going to find out. Man, I'm
not. Well, I would. So funny. I like nuking them with bait, man. I like to go to the feed store and get that good rat bait, those bricks.
Yeah, I just don't use that because I got so many dogs around.
Well, that's true. You got to put it to where the dogs can't get to it. Sure.
I just don't take a chance. I just won't do it. And, you know, another thing that happens to us is they'll eat it and climb in the wall and they die and they stink inside your trailer. It's good if you're not going to be there all year, but, you know, this time of year, it'd be my luck, they'll crawl in the wall. So I'm trying to trap them out without using that. But, the boy, that stuff does work, man.
Well, it's good to have water close by where they can get to it, you know, outside.
Right.
As soon as they eat that poison, they would go straight to water. And as soon as they drink water, they'll burst inside. They'll blow up.
You know, it's so funny because all our hunters sometimes they'll bring the corn in and try to stash it around the camp and keep it. That's the worst thing you can do. I learned that a long time ago.
Keep it away from Keep it away from living quarters.
I'll never forget my dad, you know, back in the old days, he wanted to save this one sack of corn for next year. So he stuck it in the back of the garage. And he pulled that sack of corn away at the next year, and it was all gone. It was all this these rats had taken up in the wall and stacked it between the sheetrocks and the studs. He had a whole wall full of rats and corn. He said that was about a $600 or $700 mess for a $5 sack of corn. So he learned a lesson. You know, but you know, that's just you just don't keep that stuff around the house. Let me tell you what, buddy, you dump it out and let them eat it.
No. No, that's not good.
But something I saw yesterday was amazing with the amount of quail. Man, Mickey, we got a great quail crop this year.
Blaine's been telling me that for a month and a half now. He said, Mickey, you got to come down here and just see it now in case something bad happens and they all die. He said, it is crazy. You know, when you run down them old county roads going from ranch to ranch and you end up with two or three of them in the grill, they're thick. That's how you gauge it right there, man. When you're running over quail, there's millions of them.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. I'm just seeing them around every corner. And, we're starting – every feeder's got two or three giant coveys of 15, 20 birds in them. And last year I didn't see that. So
nature's nacho.
Well,
remember that time you told me that on the radio? Said, that's nature's nacho.
Everybody likes them, man. Everybody likes a quail.
Nothing better than a wild quail.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Quail for breakfast.
I buy those pin rays sometimes, you know, at HEB and stuff and cook them up. It just ain't the same, man. It's just.
No. A farm raised quail and a wild quail, two different tastes completely.
Yeah. And that's what I liked about when I worked on the Kennedy Ranch. We had all that quail operation. And the first few years I worked there, it was just millions of quail. And we had Bill Weeks, the quail guy, come down with all these dogs, and all the hunters would hire him to work the quail. And they'd hardly get out of camp. And, you know, it was a deal where, okay, we're going to only shoot the male birds. That's how many birds they have. And then two or three years, they disappear. Then two or three years, they come back. So it's just a matter of when you get the rain and when you get the grasshoppers and all. It's like the turkeys. If you don't have a good grasshopper patch, you just don't have many young turkeys.
That's it. You got to have the bugs, man. If the rain that's creates all that, too, you know, when you get the right amount
exactly
of rainfall.
Right.
And, hey, when you got quail, you got to kill them while you've got them because there ain't no saving them. You know how they are. One cold front can come through, and it's wet, and they'll all get the flu and die.
And that's what's so weird. You have them, and all of a sudden they're gone. In the middle of the season, where'd the quail go? And everybody wants to wait till the grass dies off and you know, the snakes go in. That's what you got to do down here. You got to let it get a little cold for the snakes to really get out there in this brush. You got to have something to push those snakes under, but these guys want to work their dogs later. They're working less quail, but it's a lot safer. You overheat your dogs down here, and the snake problems is really bad. We had a bumper crop of rattlesnakes this year. It's amazing. God almighty.
Well, you're always going to have them when you have birds. If you got a lot of birds, snakes are going to be bad. I remember one year, Blaine's, it was we were quail hunting, and the grass was real, real high. And you'd shoot a quail, and you'd hear him go down in that grass fluttering, and you'd hear something coming to you, to that noise, and it would be a rattlesnake swimming on top of that grass, coming to where that quail went down. You know, got to be careful. Yeah, I remember a guy got a dry bite. He went over to pick up a quail that he had, you know, knocked down, and when he reached down there to get it, he got popped right on the top of his hand through his leather glove, and luckily for him, it was a dry bite because that snake had already popped that quail.
Boy, that's a lucky man.
Mm. Yeah, no doubt.
And that's one
still
of our biggest fears in South Texas is getting bit out of one of these ranches, not being able to get help fast enough. And so, you know, that's, a lot of these guys go back in these ranches. They're 2 or 3 hours, you know, into the gate and stuff. So
yeah,
really got to be careful this time of year. And that's why I tell people, you know, after a good cold front, get down to 35, 40 degrees for a night or two. Those snakes, just everything kind of changes.
How many people do you think that have crossed that border, you know, migrants coming in here that do it the illegal way and cut through all that brush country trying to get, you know, to Houston or wherever they're headed? How many do you think have been bit by rattlesnakes and died out there in the wild? Nobody's ever found them.
Yeah, well, that was funny you said that, because when I worked on that ranch, I had 230,000 acres. And when these guys like Dick Otto would come down, the North American guys, we'd do a lot of rattling. So we'd get off the road, we'd backpack in, and we back then was not GPSs weren't very good. You had the handheld. So we'd try to cross country, and you can't believe the remains, the human remains, and you couldn't talk about it. You say, you know, you see something out there, just don't say anything, you know. So, you know, but there were some people that didn't make it, I tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Over the years, I guarantee you it's thousands of them.
And we had a ranch guy that worked on the ranch. He rode the fences all the time. So he stayed on a horse, and he would go out for several days at a time with a backpack, not a backpack, but a roll, a bed roll, and just sleep on the ranch. And he'd been bitten, like, I think 15 times in the last 40 years by snakes. And, you know, he just never left the ranch. He dealt with it right there. He could open the gate with his lariat. He'd take his lariat, Mickey, and open a gate and turn around and rope it to the top of the gate and shut it, would never get off his horse. He was a real cowboy.
Yeah, that's the real deal right there.
He never went out the gate. He never left the gate. If the doctor had to come, the doctor came into the Kennedy Ranch to see him. He didn't leave the gate.
And, man.
He was a man of few words, but that's one guy, you didn't touch his horse. You know, that's one of those guys that his horse was like, you know, it was it. Everybody wanted to ride his horse. I said, you don't want to get on Mr. Flores' horse. I said, you stay away from that. That hurts you. You know, you don't even think about it.
Don't even look at that horse. Stay away from it.
Don't even look at that horse, dude. Just don't even think about it. Yeah, he'd show up in camp about every 2 or 3 weeks and have some coffee and stay around 2 days, and he'd get back on the fence. And that guy just hated Nell Guy, because those Nell Guy would get in with those cattle, Mickey, and take those big old horns and rip their belly open, you know, and kill those cattle. So
yeah, they're destructive.
He called them a blue devil. He did not like them. I wonder if he's still around, Mr. Florida. He was something else.
Man,
tough cowboy, buddy.
I'm telling you that you can live in that brush country down there and live on your own and go out and roll out a bedroll and spend a night in that. That's for tough guys.
He's tough, man.
That's a real deal.
The thing got me, that water that comes out of the ground there is real sulfur. It smells bad. It's like sulfur. And there's windmills. He would fill up his canteen in that sulfur water and just drink that sulfur water. I guess you're out there long enough, anything tastes good. But, you know, look at some of these cowboys around town with their hats on, these drugstore cowboys. I think, man, you're going to be Mr. Florida if you think you're a cowboy. Man.
You know, I remember in the summer coming home from my grandparents, getting ready to go back to school. He'd cut through there at Humble, and he'd pull over and fill up 2 or 3 water jugs with that spring water coming out of the ground. I wouldn't drink anything out of the ground nowadays like that.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing about the Kennedy water. It was just sulfury, a lot of sulfur.
Yeah.
But, man, he could smell that stuff, but he would drink it, man.
Rotten eggs.
Rotten eggs, baby. That's what it smelled like. Yeah. I think our fish is going. All we need here, Mickey, for our fishing, though, is just a couple more good cold fronts. And if we can get a little bit of water out here, it'll be unbelievable. So,
you know, we're actually supposed to have a pretty good one at the end of next week. It's supposed to be a pretty good one. You know, a lot cooler temperatures and a lot of wind with it. So maybe that'll be the turning point.
Yeah, I just like a little less water. It just sure would help me. Man.
Well, we're getting off the equinox now, and we can get away from the, you know, everything was set up perfect this year during the equinox with the east factor in the winds. That just pours a lot of water into these back bays, man.
Mm-hmm. You know, in our system too, Mickey, we need a good flushing. But, man, it's just, I mean, come on, let's flush it. I mean, it's overflowing, man.
Yeah.
Let's push the handle on this thing, man. It's just crazy.
We've been full of the brim for a while now.
And the back of the sloughs are just full of little mullet and chubs and all this stuff. As soon as they come out, man, those mouths of those sloughs and stuff are going to be smoking hot. And I just can't wait.
Well, it's going to concentrate a lot of fish, you know. It will. Mm-hmm. We drop these tides and get back to normalcy, and all that bait falls out of the upper reaches, and then you've got some fishing, you know, because it.
We got some of the best water quality, man. We don't have any brown tides. We got clear water, so all we need is a product. All we need something to swim in here.
Well, and, you guys down there, I mean, that just the way your system's set up with all the shallow flats and everything, when you put all that amount of water on them, those fish could be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Anywhere. It scatters them out.
Super scattered out. Super scattered. Even the guys that are digging flounder are having trouble digging flounder because they're so spread out.
Well, they better hurry because that's all going to go away here pretty
that's
soon
it.
On the gigging part.
Another week and a half. It's over, isn't it? They stops November. I think you can only
November
catch
November 1st, yeah. That's it.
That's when they'll show up. That's a good thing they did. I think it's going to help us. I think it's going to help our flounder by cutting that off in those 2 months there.
Well, TPNW knows. They do things that we don't totally agree with, but I got a text from someone. This liquid works better than bricks, talking about a Tomcat liquid concentrate, a concentrate for preparing liquid baits to kill Norway rats, roof rats, and house mice.
Wow. Man.
Got a rat problem. Everybody has rat problems.
Man, we'll see how the bucket works, buddy. We'll go check the bucket.
Hey, I watched a video on that, and I was amazed with that. They couldn't take it. They just kept going in there and just falling off into the bucket. So what do you do with all those rats?
Well, I'll tell you what, as long as they're not in my trailer, I'll tell you what, I better have in that bucket. I'm going to go check it. Maybe I have to fish tomorrow, but maybe check it Monday or something to see what's going on. But hope I got a bucket full of them, get out of my trailer. Because, man, I even opened the oven up and the trailer's a rat nest in the oven. I said, well, that's it. Well, of course, we never use the oven anyway. We always cook our thing on the campfire. It's just for show. But anyway, that was rude, buddy, have rats in the oven. So
I remember a bunch of guys I used to hunt with. You know, Jack Inman, we had an old house that, we had a rat problem in like that, just mice by the millions. But these other buddies of mine, they were on the north side of I-10, and they had a house they rented from a landowner. You know, it was an old settlement house that a family had lived in, but they leased it out, and they made kind of a hunting lodge out of it. And they left 1 year after duck season was over and closed that house all up. And, boy, they had it all fixed up nice with all these beautiful mounts, you know, black bucks and deer and bobcats and all that. And I remember we went back that next year in the fall for till season, was going to open the house up and clean it out real good and get ready. Hey, any soft tissue on any of those mounts, like the nose and the lips and the ears and everything?
No.
Hey, have you ever seen a bobcat mount without ears on it? Hey, they ate everything. Wow. They destroyed that place. Uh-huh. And that's just, yeah. You know, just not living in there for that long a period. And, boy, they just pulled in and took over, bud.
Hey, man, anything that you eat a bar of Irish soap, I mean, you're tough, man.
Yeah, you.
Something else.
Talking
you know?
About washing your mouth out with soap. That's crazy.
Oh,
man.
God, man. But that, the rats in the oven. And one of the guys with the rancher told me that the, his wife never cooked, and so every year he would hide his Christmas present inside the oven. She never found it. She goes, one place that woman never opened was the oven, so he just stuck the Christmas presents in the oven. She never opened it. That's pretty good.
Oh, well. Well, hey, man, I always enjoy talking to you, Cliff, and, hey, Yeah, we'll get rid of this old water here sooner or later.
I'll have some more fish stories eventually, man. I'll tell you what, man, I'm going to go fish the beach this morning and see how it looks. I'm going to go check it out. But appreciate you having me on, Mickey. You got a great show there, man.
We enjoy it, man.
How great it is, man.
I love it. It's a lot of fun.
All right, man.
It is what it is. Talking about hunting and fishing, you can't get any better than that, huh?
I know it, man. I know it. Anyway, Mickey, I'm at area code 361-949-0707.
My friend. Cliff, have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, see you, man. All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus, Baffin area. If you had never fished with him, you owe it to yourself. He's something else.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.